Good morning. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Billy Rogers in today from Men of Faith Tree Service. Good morning, Billy.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. Can you, you're a tree service company. For people who don't know what kind of services you offer, what does your company do?
We do tree trimming, tree removal, storm damage, anything, any kind of tree need, actually, we're available to do. We have a guy that does our stump grinding. I sub that out so we can take care of all your issues at one time.
Well, that's something, as a homeowner, I think often people, a tree service may come and cut down a tree, but then you're left with a stump there.
Yes.
And so that it's not really, it feels like an incomplete job sometimes.
Yes, it does feel like it is. And if it doesn't feel like it's an incomplete job to you, you're always having to mow around it, weed eat around it. It's just in the way.
Yeah.
So if you have a tree removed, I recommend to have a stump ground. It's not that much more extra.
Was that something for you as an owner of this company to really put out great customer service and really have a complete job kind of done with things?
Yes. I thrive on customer satisfaction. My soul is, my goal is to do a great job, and so you have great customer satisfaction, but also to be an affordable rates.
So there's kind of some unique elements to your business, and one of the most unique elements is that you hire people that are in recovery. That was the mission of you starting this business.
Yes, my whole goal is to work the guys coming out of rehabs, coming out of jails, that has a addiction, that's had some sort of an addiction problem, which you already know. God saved my life in 2017 by sending me to prison, and he's given me the vision to do this, to reach more people in the communities, surrounding communities, in recovery, and give them a second chance at life, and to eliminate the excuse, I don't know anything else.
Mm-hmm. So you were incarcerated in 2017.
Yes.
And what do you think really made the difference to make changes and to pivot your life in that time?
Well, I knew that I couldn't do that life anymore. Mm-hmm. I wanted something different, and God met me where I was at. And it changed everything for me. I don't try to push my faith on anyone, but if you're in addiction, and I encourage you to go to it.
And you did you live in a men's home when you first got out?
No,
But you kind of started working with a men's home.
Yes, the church that I attend partnered with Hope Center Ministries, and we're partners with them. So we try to pour into those guys and help them get back on track.
So, you know, we could all be living our lives. You could have the success story of just who you are, and your story alone can be inspiring to other people. Why take it the step further to start this business and then feel like you need and want to pour into other men?
Because I want to give back what God gave me. He gave me a second chance at life. He gave me freedom. Mm-hmm. When you're in addiction, you're imprisoning yourself in your own body. So if you can break that cycle, it ends with you. Your children don't have to walk through it. That's a big thing for me, is to see people get healed, and so that they can break that generational curse and their children don't have to walk and struggle and suffer the way that we have.
Well, and it's got to be a lot. Does it make it easier or harder that you are focused on your own recovery and your own path of keeping yourself on the straight and narrow, but then being the leader and example for others? Does that feel like more pressure, or does that feel like it makes it easier because you have a community around you that you're all going in the same direction?
Oh, it's definitely a struggle. There's nothing easy about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not called for it to be easy. If it was easy, everybody would have it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worth it in the end. I come out of prison in 2020 with 5 years hanging over my head of parole. I actually complete that in October.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord has blessed me. He's took the craving. He's took the taste for the addiction out of my mouth. I don't desire it. what I do desire is to see everyone else shake it.
Mm-hmm. And be that example for others. Yeah. So you got out in 2020 and you started Men of Faith Tree Service in what year?
I was 22.
Were there people in your community that thought, Billy, this is too much. You got to just focus on yourself. You're starting a business. You're jumping right in. It's a lot to take on, especially just 2 years after being a small business owner is a lot anyway. There's a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. A tree service industry where there's a lot of safety issues as well. And I'm sure that people have kind of given you some backlash of, oh man, you're going to have recovering addicts have chainsaws and there's some safety issues. How do you know if they're going to be sober every time they're on the job? How have you kind of managed that in the last 3 to 5 years, you know, of how to take care of that?
Well, every morning my routine is I pray over my employees, people that's going to be working for me, the homeowners that we're going to be working for. But most of all, I just ask God's intervention in everyone's life, not just me or my family or my employees or the homeowners I'm working for. I mean everyone, for discernment that he gives me that. If someone looks off that day, they don't do those tasks. I'm not going to take that risk of them getting hurt and maybe being injured their whole life.
How much on the job has been counseling as much as tree work? You know, how much do you have to?
It's probably a 70-30.
The tree work 70 or the?
Yeah.
But I'm sure that there's a lot of, you know, even just working together. That's common to talk with your coworkers, but you're probably getting into some heavy conversations out there on job sites.
Yes, we do. And a lot of times it's not just coworkers, it's homeowners. We shut the job down one day for 3 hours and prayed over a whole family. And that's what we're called to do. Yes, I have to make money, to sustain my business, to feed my family. But at the end of the day, it's not about the money. It's about who I can reach, who I can help, and what I can do for the Lord.
I think it's so interesting when you, I think the key to a successful life is finding a career path, finding a way to provide for your family that puts you in your purpose. When was the moment that you realized that your purpose, Billy, was to start this company that you can serve others, you can serve homeowners, but you can also serve the employees that you're hiring?
I don't know, probably a year after I started it, because I fought God the whole way on it. When he gave me the vision to start the business, I argued with him. I told him I couldn't do it. I didn't have the means. I didn't have financing. I didn't have no credit because I'd never borrowed any money in my life.
Did you grow up not seeing other business owners as well?
Yes. I mean, I grew up as a kid. I was a farm boy. I grew up on a small farm. We raised most of the meat we eat. We raised a garden. We tended backer. That's how I grew up, and that was the life I loved.
Mm-hmm.
But no one in my family owned their own business. You know, we all always worked for someone else. But the thing about it is that when I finally surrendered and give in to what God was telling me to do, my whole outlook on life changed. Did I know I was going to succeed? No, I didn't. Was mm-hmm. I scared? Absolutely, I was.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to have faith in what I was called to do, or if I didn't step out, I was going to sink where I was at.
Yeah. Well, and you have to find, like you said, something to do in life.
Yes.
And so, you know, you're coming off a stint being incarcerated. What skills do you have? What can set you up? And at that time, there was a pitch competition. So this was maybe 3 or 4 years ago now?
Yes.
And it was a competition for recovering addicts to start businesses,
yes,
to encourage that kind of path for people. And you won this competition, and you were able to get a small pot of money to start off your business. I think it paid for a vehicle for you. Is that?
Yes. It paid a down payment on my bucket truck, and it bought, I want to say I bought a couple of chainsaws and a pickup truck with it, which none of them was very expensive. But it was enough to get me off the ground and get started.
Do you think that, you know, of course this is government money and government programs and funding and assistance. But do you think that there was kind of a divine power overseeing that to say that this was the mission that was going to make an impact on our area?
Absolutely, I do. And I think those missions are divine appointed. And I think that they should be more of them when the opportunity arises, because it's not only changed my perspective of the grant monies, but it's changed a lot of other people that knows me. There's actually a guy that goes to church with me that got the grant afterwards, that went in and applied for it. Joe Fleury, mm-hmm. I think he won that grant as well.
The next year, yep.
Yes.
He did. Yeah, and I think that's sometimes it it feels like you're on an island in recovery. I think sometimes you think there's not anybody that understands what I've gone through, what I've been. But kind of forming a community of like-minded business owners and employees, and it's not so hard to see, okay, these people have built a life and have a functioning, they become functioning members of society, and it's not this blacklist of, oh, you were incarcerated, I'm not going to associate with you. And maybe makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, well, there's always going to be those people that looks down on you and it says, you know, well, here, you got a past. I'm not taking a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But I just pray against it, you know. And I tell my story to everyone.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Billy Rogers in from Men of Faith Tree Service talking about kind of your path to recovery. Have you had any I'm sure there's a little bit of kind of teaching people about your business and that it's still a legitimate tree service business. You have you're registered, you're an LLC, you have insurance, you have, you know, you're not just kind of flying by the seat of your pants.
Yes.
So what do you want people who might come across your name and think, oh gosh, I don't know if that would be safe in my home, or, you know, what kind of liability would I have? What do you want people, potential clients, to know?
Well, just to know that we are fully insured, licensed, and that we take pride in what we do. Mm-hmm. It's not just a bunch of recovering addicts trying to make money.
Well, and I'm going to say it's not just a bunch of addicts. There is a difference between a recovering addict and an addict. Is that correct?
There is, but I don't like the term recovering addict because I don't feel that I'm an addict anymore because mm-hmm. God removed it from me. I'm an ex-addict because I got my 8-year chip June the 17th.
Congratulations.
I've been sober for 8 years. My drug of choice started out when I was very young as alcohol. That graduated into pain pills and then into meth.
Mm-hmm.
I've not had the craving. I've not had the desire. It's went as far. God removed it so far from me that I had a lady give me my drug of choice, methamphetamines, at church one day when we was trying to help her so that I could get rid of it.
Hmm.
And it didn't faze me because I know that's not me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
God has removed that from me. A lot of people's not fortunate enough for that to happen.
Yeah. A lot of people are struggling. They couldn't have that in their hand and just discard it and get rid of it. Do you think you try to provide that example of the where life can get to? Because I think when you're in the thick of it, I mean, think of 8, 9, 10 years ago. Could you ever have seen this be your life right now?
No. 8, 9, 10 years ago, before I went to prison in 2017, I didn't want to live anymore. I'd lost my best friend, my dad, which I was already in addiction. But when he passed, my addiction spiraled way out of control. I didn't want to live. I didn't have no reason to live. I wasn't getting to see my kids. And I used that for a crutch, for an excuse. And that's all it was an excuse. It was nobody but me. Mm-hmm. I was doing it myself.
Yeah.
But when my dad passed, I spiraled out of control. I'd been running from the law. And then I caught another charge on top of that when they caught me the last time. When I went to prison, I weighed 108 pounds. I normally weigh 200. Mm-hmm. I looked like death warmed over. But it was a true blessing that God done his intervention in me because I couldn't do it by myself.
Have there, you know, not doing it by yourself, God is one thing. Are there other people along your journey that really stick out, that really pushed you to encourage you to start the business, encourage you to stay on track, that have been really...
Absolutely. The business encouragement, I could have started any business probably because I've done a little bit of everything in my life, from build recliners to shoot dynamite. I've done a little of everything. But I've had a lot of people supportive of me starting the business, but encouraging me, I don't know that I've had that because everybody's worried, what if, what if.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see what if. We still struggle with that today. We'll get in a spot and my wife will say, well, what are we going to do now? And my answer, God will provide.
Yeah.
And it's not about, for me, it's not about tomorrow. It's about what I can do today to help someone else in need.
I think you can spend so much time worried about what ifs that you can't be living for the future. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you spent a lot of time really not living for the future and just living in the moment and not even caring but not having faith.
Yes.
And so once you can kind of turn your life and pivot to having the faith, the strong faith that you have, but still knowing, you know, that there's a future out there. Yes, you're living for today, but you're living for today. And you know the decisions you make today are going to be around for tomorrow. You know, I think that you probably cling to that a bit more than maybe somebody who hasn't been through what you've been through.
Absolutely. And that's the whole thing about it. I may not wake up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not that old, but I feel like it some days. But the
you lived life where there were definitely days you might not wake up in the morning.
Yes. And the thing is, everybody talks about a legacy. My legacy is, my whole idea of legacy is that I impacted someone's life to help them change and to lose the bondage that they was in,
mm-hmm.
whether it's my children, employee, someone in the community. That's what it's all about. It ain't everybody gets in their own way because they think it's about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about me. Never has been. Man, I hope it never does. If it gets to where it's about me, I hope God removes me from the equation and gives it to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
He gave it to me, so I don't care that he gives it to someone else.
Yeah.
If I'm not stewarding it the way he wants me to, desires for me to, then I ask that he remove it.
So you're still aside from just in the business, you're still heavily involved in the recovery community.
Yes.
You're active in a recovery group at your church.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Celebrate Recovery, we meet on Monday nights. It's a 12-step faith-based recovery meeting weekly. Me and my wife actually lead it at the moment. We have a large group, and then we take a small break, and then we have small groups. when the small groups, men and women have their own groups. They're separated. And that helps. They can share. A man and a woman, if you're in a relationship, you may not open up if your significant other's in the room with you. You don't want to look bad in front of them. So if you separate it, then both people can share and get the healing that they need. My goal for Celebrate Recovery is to grow, to reach everyone in the Upper Cumberland. That is our vision. Not just to reach Hope Center guys and their families. We want to reach all families. And we're actually looking at starting a youth Celebrate Recovery. It's called The Landing. We're hoping to get that off the ground by the end of the year.
As a mom of young people in this community, that kind of sounds scary to me, because why do we need these resources for youth? But it's an issue. It's out there. Absolutely. Whether we want to admit it or not, or we want to see it or not.
And
these are needs that our community has.
And a lot of people look at it in addiction as it's drugs, alcohol. No, it's not. It's any hurt, habit, or hang up. I mean, it can be childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. It can be anything. And that's what it's for. We're trying to reach the community, young and old. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great resource to have.
We'll be right back. Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry. I have Billy Rogers in this morning from Men of Faith Tree Service. So you've been around for about 3 years now.
Yes.
Just cutting down trees, helping people. How are people finding you and wanting to work with you?
We actually, my phone number is on my truck with my logo. We actually have a website. It's MOFTrees, all capital, .com. You just punch it in on Google and it'll pull us up.
And what do you think, aside from the fact that you're hiring recovering addicts, what else about the business, about your customer service, sets you apart from other? I mean, there's other tree services in the community.
Yes.
So what sets you apart?
The fact that a lot of times it's mainly word of mouth. Mm-hmm. People referring us.
Somebody works with you, knows what the experience is like.
Yes, and a lot of it's, I've done this kind of stuff all my life. As a kid growing up with my dad, he would do it a lot of times for free because people couldn't afford it. And I thrive on trying to stay cost efficient. I don't buy new stuff. I try to use the older stuff and just keep it running and maintain it. That way I don't have all the overhead, so I don't have to charge so much. And sometimes it bites me. But
is there anything that homeowners should know about the maintenance of trees on their property? Of when is the right time that it's like, this tree's got to go? I have some evergreens that they look kind of dead. I don't really know if they're dead or not. Like one had fallen, had come down in an ice storm because it was so heavy. But what, as a homeowner, should we be looking for?
Well, mainly if you've got a tree that's got woodpeckers in it, it's dying. It's probably time to be starting to look into getting it out. If you've got a bunch of woodpeckers pecking on one tree, the reason they do that is because it's got rot in it, and they're eating the termites or ants or whatever's in it. And then if you look at your trees down toward the base where they split out, if you start seeing a crack or a real dark black seam coming out of it, that's a good indication that the tree's liable to split. As far as that, your Bradford pears, they're bad to break at any time because they get too heavy.
It's just not a sturdy tree.
No, it's not. You need to keep them top low. You need to keep them maintained and keep them up. Because if you let them get real tall, they get top heavy, and then that's when they split out. If you keep them trimmed back, you don't have as much to worry about it.
That's one thing that I don't know that homeowners know as much, is that not every tree just needs to be removed. There's some maintenance on trees that can kind of prolong the life of the tree,
yes.
Correct? My evergreens, I think they're a little close, and I've just never trimmed the trunk, but they could last longer and be better if I just had that maintenance done.
Yes, and evergreen trees, they'll start getting some dead limbs toward the bottom. If you keep them cut off, it's not trying to pull nutrients to the dead part, so it lets it feed the rest of the tree more.
How have you learned about, you know, there's one thing to operate a chainsaw, but to learn about the nutrients of a tree and the woodpecker and, you know, kind of just knowing about the health and integrity of trees. Where did that come
from? High school. I took FFA, Future Farmers of America. Mm-hmm. We done tree judging, tree competitions.
Well, I'm guessing if you grew your own food too, you got, yes, you know, had some knowledge on.
Yes, we had, some of our family members always had fruit trees, you know, and you learn what the efficiency is. Like if one's fruit's rotting before it gets ripe, I mean, it's low on iron. Simple fix.
I like that you're like, duh, yeah. Of course.
I mean, it's.
I look at trees and that's about
well,
it.
Well, no, it's a simple fix. If it's doing that, drive a bunch of nails in it. Mm-hmm. It's low on iron. The nails will rust and the tree will get the iron from the rusty nails.
I feel like you're pranking me right now.
No, I'm
this
serious.
This is a real thing.
Yes, it's real.
Really? That's interesting. You know, what about like hedges trimming and stuff like that, landscape kind of stuff? Do you work on those kind of services?
We haven't done a whole lot of them. I have done a few. We can do that. I don't really advertise it because, to be honest, we've got a whole lot of work to do with bigger trees. But if it's something someone wants to do, we're not opposed to it.
Yeah.
And I thrive on, there's no job too big or too small. It don't matter if it's a $100 job or a $100,000 job, we'll still come do it, which there's some tree companies that won't. It has to be a set amount before they'll come out and do it. That's not what we're all about.
Well, and I'm guessing if you have an addictive personality, no matter what that addiction is, keeping busy and keeping distracted, it's probably helpful. So the more work that you have and the more jobs that you have lined up to keep your men busy is probably, I mean, yes, it's putting money in everybody's pockets, but also it just keeps them busy and focused on something, a task at hand, serving their community, serving your customers.
Absolutely.
It's probably just helpful just to be able to be out there working.
Yes. And about everyone that works for me, I have one, Hope Center graduate that works for me. His big thing is giving back. You know, he goes above and beyond. He started mowing yards on the side, to help people that's elderly people that can't afford high priced, lawn services. He goes out and does it for pennies on the dollar, enough to cover his fuel and to pay him a little bit for his time.
Yeah.
It's all about being able to give back to people in need, and you can't ever tell. If I can tell you're in need, I may show up and do it for free.
What do you think that 10-year-old Billy would have thought he would be doing at this point in his life? Do you think
10-year-old Billy was going to be a rodeo star?
A rodeo star, which is kind of far from where you're at.
Yes.
But you get to be a tree star instead.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about being a star. Sometimes I get so high in them, I look like I'm a star.
So what are you most proud of in the business that you built, the stories? I mean, I'm sure that you have some success stories of men that have moved on, that have worked for you, and they've moved on to other opportunities.
No, actually, the ones that has actually worked for me, because the first year I was in business, I done it pretty much by myself. And then I hired the Hope Center graduate and my son. He works for me. Is the guys I've worked. I've worked a couple more. That didn't move on. One went back to prison, and one's no longer with us no more. He decided he was going to live the old life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just awesome to see the ones that are working for me thriving.
Well, and you mentioned that when you were incarcerated, your relationship with your children was strained at that time.
Yes, it was.
And so then to kind of see the circle of life of that your son is not working for you, and
yes,
you get to kind of be in the situation with him, probably that higher probably hit deeper than the others.
Yes, that's hope for anyone in recovery. I hope it gives everyone hope. If God can restore those kind of relationships for me, he will do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I thrive in for everyone to receive is – I don't deserve it. You may feel that you don't deserve it. It's a free gift. All you got to do is ask for it and receive
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
But the main part is surrender.
Well, and to continue to make that choice to receive it every day. I'm sure there's days where you wake up and maybe praying isn't as easy as other days. Maybe
absolutely
things are a little bit more tough.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned having an employee that went back to jail. Well, that's a tough day. Mm-hmm. That's got to be. And so the morning after you wake up and it's not, hello, amen, God, I'm here. It's a little bit harder.
Well, those days are a little bit easier for me to pray.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm not perfect.
Because you're struggling yourself, so you know you need somebody else.
And I'm not perfect. There is days that I get up and I walk out of the house and I don't pray.
Mm-hmm.
And those are my hard days.
Mm-hmm.
It's the days that I don't surrender and give it to God and ask him for his guidance. I do fall short.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I just hope everyone receives is you don't have to be perfect. You're not asked to be perfect. You're asked to try your best.
Well, and I think that reminder that you can come back the next day.
Absolutely.
Like it's a continual process that you got out of bed, you got in doing whatever, and you didn't end up praying, okay, well, tomorrow's a new day.
Yeah.
And we get to start all over, and we get to say our prayers and ask for redemption, and we get to do it again tomorrow.
Well, every minute, every hour is a new opportunity. If you don't do it now, you can do it later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing about it. It's so easy for us to get distracted by the world, by the flesh, and we walk in that a lot.
Mm-hmm. If you mentioned your website, MOFtrees with an S,
.com. Yep.
So people can head over to your website, check out it. What's the process like? Do they fill out a form? Do they call you?
No, it just has a phone number on it. We're having technical difficulties with it right now. It won't let you fill out a form. If you do, I don't receive it.
Okay.
So I've got a guy that goes to church with me that built my website.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually working on that, trying to figure out how to get it to where it sends the link to me and not.
The random space. Yeah. Well, so that people can give you a call. What's your phone number?
931-304-3543.
So if you have some trees that are needing to, you know, get cut down or trimmed up in your yard, definitely call Billy and his guys at Men of Faith Tree Service. And know that with working with your company, it's kind of, it is about the greater good of our community.
Yes.
It's not just about hiring a tree service. Mm-hmm. That there is that intrinsic good feeling with working with a company like yours.
Yes.
So head over, give us that number one more time.
931-304-3543.
Men of Faith Tree Service. So give them a call. And thanks so much for coming in today, Billy.
Thank you, Miss Tiffany.